All right, open your Bible if you would. Psalm 63. Next Wednesday, God willing, we'll get back into our study of soul winning. And that'll be our third lesson next Wednesday. But for today, Psalm 63. Okay, well, let's read our text. It's the whole Psalm, 1 through 11, so follow along as I read, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Would you repeat that phrase with me, just that phrase, my soul thirsteth for thee. Let's say it together. My soul thirsteth for thee. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you just... You need God. You're thirsty for Him. It's dry. It's barren. That's David. He says, My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. I'm sorry. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David here is remembering what it was like to be close to God. And at this time, he isn't close to God. He, in his own words, said it this way, My soul is thirsty. I mean, that's the imagery that he gives us. He's away from God and his soul is thirsty for God. And he's remembering how it was in his life when he was close to God. And now that he's not there, he's looking as though it were from a distance what it was like. What it used to be like when I had God close to me and now I'm not where I need to be today. And I want to get back there. It's almost we can feel him saying that, you know. We can sense that his emotions are just pulling him back to that closeness that he once had. He wants it again. He knows who God is. He's experienced God. He's had God's blessings. He's had God's joy. He's experienced God's character in spite of who he is. And he wants it again. We can relate with that, can't we? We get homesick, don't we? Because that's what David is. He's homesick. And we get homesick. And we need to get God back. So that homesickness goes away. And the joy is what it needs to be. What it can be. And so I hope this message will be an encouragement to you tonight. Whenever you're home, what do we do when we're homesick for God? If you're taking notes, maybe you could note that. What do we do when we're homesick for God? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless the message. I pray you'd help me to communicate your word with not only authority, passion, but God, with your spirit, most of all, with your spirit, with your power, that it would be your message, not my message, that your touch would be in the hearts of your people tonight and not anything that I would do or I would say. I don't want to be in the way. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Get me out of the way. I pray that you'd be blessed and honored today. Lord, I need you. I need your help. I'm not, I don't, I'm just, I'm nothing, Lord. I'm nothing. But you're everything, and so I pray that you touch your people tonight. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've all been homesick. You know, sometimes we go to our family's house at Christmas time, and we're away from home, and sometimes it's across the country or across the state. You're sleeping in a different bed. It's not your bed. You're using somebody else's, you know, bathroom. You're using their stuff. You know, you just don't have the same kind of comfort like whenever you're at home. You know, all that stuff in the fridge, you bought it and put it there. And so you know at any time in the day or night, like you wake up at midnight, you're like, oh, man, I need to go to the fridge. It's your fridge. You can do it. And whenever you're at, you know, we've been to that place where we're just not feeling at home and we just don't have those comforts. And you do it for a couple of days because you're visiting. Maybe there was a funeral or there was a, you know, something you needed to be there and you're staying with family and they're kind, you're saving money on the hotel, but you're in their house and you're not really all that comfortable, you know, and they just think it's great. Yeah, but it's their house. But you're just waiting. You're just excited to get home. That homesick feeling comes, but it gets stronger the longer you've been away, doesn't it? So if you've been away for a week, your homesick feeling's pretty strong. I remember when Melissa, not just a couple weeks ago, went to Kentucky with her sister with her important procedure, and she was getting homesick. She was missing some of those comforts of home, mostly me, but no, maybe not. You know, we can feel that way with church too. You know, when you come to church, and I think one of the chief characteristics that we have as a church is we're friendly and we're kind, we're loving. And so at least we try to make people feel at home when they come. And if we don't, shame on us, but we should, and we do. I sense that, you know, people feel at home and they need to. Not all churches are like that. I remember when we visited a church, well, I won't tell on churches, but we've been to a lot of churches in our travels, and not all of them are as homey and friendly as others. But I do remember the most friendly and the most kind and just pleasant place we've ever visited, and it was in Topeka, Kansas. Brother Jeremiah Metzinger and that church there, it was just a special place. You walk in the door and you feel like every person you see is your new best friend. They make you feel that way. And I think to myself, man, are they like this all the time? And every time I've been there, they are. And they're just as genuine as they can be. And it makes you want to go back, doesn't it? It makes you want to be a part of that. It makes you want to be involved. And because nobody wants to feel homesick. Nobody wants to be in a place where they feel out of place. They don't want to be in a position where they're not comfortable there. And that is how we can get in our walk with God, where we're not as close to God as we need to be. We've gotten away from Him, and we're feeling homesick because we want to get back close to Him. It's precisely what's happened with David. David here in our psalm has been attacked by his own son. If you can imagine, dads, where his son Absalom rose up in authority to overthrow the kingdom and destroy his father and take over the kingdom and thus kill his father, taking over and establishing himself as the new monarch of the children of Israel, the king of Israel. So David had to take some steps to save himself and his family. He had to leave. He had to get out of town because Absalom had won. Matter of fact, the scripture says it this way. Absalom had stolen the hearts of the people. And so the people trusted Absalom. They were, you know, behind Absalom. They were going to follow Absalom. And now David has found himself in a tough position where he has to leave town. He has to leave his house. He has to leave the temple. He has to leave the Ark of the Covenant. He has to leave the presence of God. He has to go into the wilderness, into the desert, away for safety, to save his family, to save himself. And here's what he found as he was in the desert, away from God. He saw the dry and thirsty land and he thought to himself, there's no water out here and that's how I feel in here. There's no sustenance. There's no way we could survive out here. And that's how I feel in here, that I'm away from the presence of God. I'm away from the house of God. I need Him. We can almost feel David as he is hungry for God. He's thirsty for God, being that he's been away. He's homesick. He wants to go home. He wants to be close again. As he was in the wilderness, notice what he said in verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. So David wanted God back. Look what he says. My what thirsteth for thee? You say it, church. My soul. Okay, so his soul would be his spiritual life, his inside. But look what he said in the next phrase. My what longeth for thee? My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So David said this. What he did is he put a category. He summarized how he felt and what his need was. It wasn't just something that it was on the inside. He says, this feeling that I'm having, my dry and thirsty soul, that I'm homesick for God, it's affected my whole being, my soul and my flesh, my inside and my outside. My soul is miserable, but my life is miserable, he says. I need God. And that's what happens in life when we get away from God. Isn't it? We get away from God and we're not close to Him, and we get thirsty and we're miserable in our spirit, but it transfers from our spirit to our life. And then we get homesick and we want to have a closeness, but we're tired of how we're living too. We're tired of how it's affecting our day-to-day life, our attitude, and how we're talking to people. We haven't been reading our Bible, and we haven't been praying like we should. And we're getting homesick, and we're tired of it. But that lack of Bible reading, and that lack of time on our knees, we live life, and we live busy lives, and we find ourselves maybe a week later, and we realize, I've been away from God. I need God. I need to get in my Bible. I need to get on my knees. And you know what? We feel it in our soul, but it also affects our life, because over here, we're angry and we're upset and we're chippy and we're getting on to people and we're frustrated, we're getting offended, and we're allowing the things that shouldn't bother us to bother us because we're away from God. And we're miserable. It affects our soul, but it affects our flesh. It affects our spirit. It affects our lives. Because that's who we are. We're the whole package. You can act one way at church. You can put on the show. But who you are in here, it's going to make its way out here. And if it's not happening in here, it's going to show up in how you're living your life, in what you're doing, and how you feel. Yeah. And we lose that faithfulness, that faithful spirit, you know, where we're loving church and we're loving God and we're loving our Bible and we're loving serving and we're loving it all. And it's in here. And so as we're excited and we're close, and it affects who we are out here, but when we get away, man, it affects us. I met a girl, a young lady, at Home Depot. We've been making a lot of trips to Home Depot, I mean to tell you. And I met this young, I try to ask God for His help to outreach anybody and everybody I can. And I try to use wisdom as I approach people. And I always think of this, and God has changed my soul winning so much that I understand that I'm not going to win somebody to Jesus in 10 minutes. Our world isn't like that. People have been indoctrinated with a host of things that are probably wrong, but I don't know what they've been indoctrinated by, and I can't find out in 10 minutes. And so here's what I've determined to do in the time that I have. What can I leave with this person that would potentially lead them to God? What thought can I leave in your mind? Is there something I can get you thinking about that would make you say, I need a little bit more? If I can do that, then I feel that I've been a success in my soul winning at that time. Planting a seed where others can water and potentially they'll grow into salvation. And I met this young lady and I was chatting with her and just making conversation. And when I'm talking to young ladies, they're uncomfortable because you know, I'm a man and I don't want them to feel uncomfortable, but a young lady who a man is making conversation with them, they might feel uncomfortable just because that's the world we live in. So I always right off the bat start talking about my wife, my children, and then I'm a pastor. Usually those three things combined together, it diffuses their nervousness and we can have a conversation about life. And I was talking to this young lady about life. And as a pastor, she was interested in, you know, what I was saying, and I asked her, our conversation was going this direction. I said, so do you have a church home? She's 23 years old, you know. I said, do you go to church? She said, you know, when I was in rehab in Washington State, I found a really good church there. And so I didn't know rehab, I didn't know Washington, you know, I didn't know any of that until she said that. And so I just said, so, but you haven't found a church here. She, you know, I really didn't, you know, I mean, I just haven't felt comfortable. And, you know, honestly, I haven't really tried that hard either, she admitted. And then I decided, you know, I've got maybe 5 minutes. What can I leave in her mind? It was, and here's what it was. I said, if you came to, I just had a conversation. I said to this young lady, Natalie was her name. I said, Natalie, if you came to my church, she knew I was a pastor. What would you appreciate the most? If the music was rocking and awesome, but the preaching was bad? Or the music was like, there wasn't much music at all, but the preaching was like, wow, that spoke to me. I said, which one would you rather have? She said, oh, the preaching, far and away. I said, that's good. You know, you can go to your car and listen to music, but probably you're not going to get a good Bible sermon out in the car. And I said to her, I said, listen, what you need in your life is you need the Bible in your life. You need God in your life. And whenever you're looking for a church, you need to find one that preaches the Bible. Because that's what you need. And now, she'll think of that. That was my goal. But my point was this. For this young lady, Natalie, if she doesn't find a church, do you know what she's going to find in life? She's going to find a dry and thirsty land that will not satisfy her soul and cannot satisfy her soul or her flesh. And she'll thirst, and she'll look for that satisfaction in this world, but she'll never find it because it's found in God. It's found in his word. And so that's what David is experiencing here. He needs God, and we need God. We need like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:5. Don't turn there. But he said this, that these Corinthians first gave themselves to the Lord. You should mark that verse and look at it later. It's 2 Corinthians 8:5. It says that they first gave themselves to the Lord. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? Giving yourself to the Lord. If we don't give ourselves to God, here's what we're going to find in life. Life is going to make us miserable. We're not going to find any joy or satisfaction in this world without God. We need Him. He is our satisfaction. We'll get homesick when we start looking at stuff we shouldn't look at, when we start saying things we shouldn't say, when we get involved with things we shouldn't be involved with. It's an identifier, it's an indicator also that we've been away from God when we're looking at things we shouldn't, when we're saying things we shouldn't, when we're involved with things that we shouldn't be involved with. I mean, we're engaging in relationships and taking things in an area that they should never go. And our mind sometimes can engage in that kind of relationship. And we're thinking about things and we're viewing things we shouldn't view. And we're thinking about things we shouldn't look at or rather think about. And like my kids, when we're at the mall, there's always that store, you know, the one where the store shouldn't be there. Anyway, there's this pictures in the glass and it's like pornography, you know, and my kids are walking by. I'm like, all right, kids, they know. I don't even tell them, Dad, here we go, you know, and they're looking at that store. Anymore, I mean, you have to be careful what's on that side too. So we're doing this, looking down, and it's funny because the older kid's getting on to the little ones. Ethan, don't look, I saw you were looking, you know, we look at things we shouldn't look at. When we've been away from God, it affects us. It affects what we're involved with and what we're allowing ourselves to be exposed to and what we're thinking about, it affects all of us. We get angry. We get disappointed in life. Why? Because we're away from God. We're homesick. We're in a dry and thirsty land. Ethan and Andrew, they're having sibling rivalry right now, big time. I mean, every night they're punching each other. I'm like, guys, stop. Grant came down and he said, Dad, I don't mean to tattle, like, right. Every night, 12 times. Anyway, I don't mean to tattle, Dad, but Ethan just said, I hate you, to Andrew. I just thought you would know. I'm like, okay, tell him to come here. And they came down and I said, Ethan, did you say I hate you to Andrew? He punched me in the back. I'm like, oh, did you punch him in the back? Yeah. And I can't remember why he punched him in the back. And then I looked at Ethan and I said, Ethan, do you really hate him? Oh no, here's what he also said. I wish you weren't my brother. He said that too. So I'm dealing with this and I'm saying, do you really wish he wasn't your brother? And he's crying. He says, no. Like, I do want him to be my brother. But you know, that's what happens. That kind of thing, we laugh with the kids, and it's not really funny, but you know, the kids do that. We expect that because they're kids. But that happens to us as adults. When we get away from God, we get angry at each other and the people around us in this world. By the way, they're lost. We should expect it out of them. But not from us. Why do we do it then? Well, we're away from God. We're thirsty. Yeah. People get discouraged when they get away from God. You ever been discouraged? I have. I hate to admit that, but I do get discouraged. Melissa and I were chatting about this the other day, and in the ministry, one of the hardest things to watch is people you invest in walk away from God. You know, people you love, you give them you put your life into their life. You love them, they're your family. Brother Chad and Miss Chelsea and the kids left this morning, and I was praying for them when they left, and I just had this enormous paternal feeling, like, these are my kids, you know? I really felt all of them, like Brother Chad, Miss Chelsea, Myla, Dustin, Zoe, and Ava, all of them, I felt like all of these are my kids, you know? So I prayed. I was really praying, like, God, please protect them. And I know Brother Chad's a bad driver, so God, please give him safety on the road. And he's not a bad driver, but anyway, anybody who's driving except for me, So I'm asking God to bless them and work, you know, keep them safe as they go and in this love that's there. What about when you invest in people and you love them that way and then they walk away? You know? That's hard, isn't it? It's discouraging, isn't it? But it does happen. That's ministry. And as a church family, we're going to experience that too. Hey, listen, I'm not living on an island to think that I'm the only one who is affected by this. That we as a church, we love people on purpose. So then when they leave, it hurts me, but it hurts all of us because we all loved them. We all invested in them. We all sat with them. We all encouraged them. We all, you know, did for them. And then when they leave, it's discouraging. And so things in life are discouraging. Ministry, our health, our finances, our stuff. Our dishwasher's broke. You know, I mean, we can get it working, but you have to put the secret password in every time or reset it. And anyway, but you know, that's not a big deal. We'll get it fixed. But stuff breaks and you're thinking, and just piling on one thing after another thing. And sometimes it's our family. Sometimes it's all of it at once, and we get discouraged about it. And we allow that discouragement to pull us even further away. But discouragement, watch, discouragement comes because we're away. Discouragement should never be a part of a Christian life. No matter the circumstances, we can have joy. So the fact that we're discouraged at all means we're away from God. And we can relate with David, can't we? We're thirsty, and we need him. David, I'm gonna tell you right now what this sermon is, and I'm going to tell you what it isn't. You're not going to get the tools to get back to God in this sermon, okay? It's not here. Because we don't see David getting back to God here. Here's what we see. David starting to look back to God. He's not back to, he doesn't give tools to get back to God. He's not getting back to God. He's telling us, I'm away from God, and now I'm starting to look back. You see? I think that's where it starts, don't you? You've been away, and now we need to get our eyes back on the right direction. And then we start to make practical steps in getting close to God again. So David here understood something, and I want you to write this statement down. And then we're going to go pretty quick on the end of this sermon, okay? Write this, but I need you to get this. Here's what it is. Our spiritual condition does not affect the character of God. That's encouraging, isn't it? Let me say it again. You need to write this. Our spiritual condition does not affect the character of God. Okay? So let me say this and then I'll give you some practical things, okay? We get away from God. But did you know that didn't change God at all? You changed, but God didn't. So God's not like mad at you. He doesn't do that. I mean, there's consequences that follow us because of our decisions. But it's not like God lost his temper or something because we got away. God is who he is. And so we're the ones who change. God does not change. He's always ready and waiting for us to come back. That's encouraging. So David was thankful for that, and he was reflecting on God's character. And in verse 3 all the way to 11 are David's reflections back on who God is. And it made him say, wow, praise his name. I'll lift my hands. I'll praise him. My lips will speak this. He could not get over the fact that God is who he is, and he never changes. And when I'm away from him, he still doesn't change. So David was thankful, number one, because God is merciful. Did you know that's the character of God? It never changes. He will always be merciful. What are you doing? What are you not doing? Did you know that God is still merciful? No matter where you are or what you've done? That's encouraging. Look at verse 3. But because thy, what's the next word? Loving kindness. See that big word there? That word is used 248 times in the Bible. That's a lot, right? Did you know that every time that it was translated, or rather, throughout the scriptures, it wasn't always translated into the word loving kindness? It was actually translated, because of the context, into other words at times. The same Hebrew word translated into a different English word. And so 149 times that word loving kindness was translated into this word, mercy. Interesting, huh? You know, loving kindness and mercy really go together, don't they? God is merciful. Because thy loving kindness, thy mercy is better than life. My lips shall what? Praise thee. I will bless thee. I will lift my hands. He says, God, your mercy makes me praise you. Your mercy makes me lift my hands. The rest of my life, he says, verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. That means until I die, I'll bless you, I'll praise you. I'm thankful because of your mercy. You're worthy. Number 2, David was thankful because in God, he found complete, watch this, write this. He was completely satisfied. God is completely satisfying. You could just write that. God is completely satisfying. You know, we get away from God and we run into this stuff of the world. And we're looking for pleasure there. And we'll find some pleasure. But it's not satisfying. And David says, but in God. Now, I'm away from him right now. But do you know what I remember about God? Is that when I'm close to him, he is completely satisfying. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my help. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 5. My soul shall be, what's that word? Satisfied, as with marrow and fatness. That word marrow is meat on the bone, like a big, you know, chicken wing. and the fatness. So he's talking about a meal here and how satisfying a big spread would be when you're hungry. And these boys are getting it, you know. They're, oh yeah. David is, he's relating to food here and the satisfaction that that food can bring when you're hungry, but God is satisfying. He says, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 6, I will remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. God would satisfy him. God would satisfy. He's remembering who God is in God's character. Number 3, he was thankful because God would always protect. God would always protect. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my, what's that word?
Help.
Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. That word help, you know what it means? It means succor. That's a common word anymore, isn't it? Succor. You know what succor means? It means to run to rescue. So God is my help. He is my succor. He runs to rescue me. He runs to rescue me. He's my help. And then it says, I will rest under the shadow of his wing. See, it says the shadow of his wing. Speaking of that protection of the hen, the protection of God. When we're close to God, he protects us. His protecting hand. This is David reflecting on who God is. This is God's character. His mercy. He found that in God there is mercy, right? He found that in God not only is there mercy, but there is complete satisfaction and there is protection. Whenever we're where God wants us to be, when we are close to Him, but when we're away from Him, what will encourage us? What's that first step to set us on the right path, in the right direction, to get our eyes on the right path, on the right direction, to remember who he is, to remember that he's merciful. What are you doing? God is merciful. That's encouraging. You can come back to him and his mercy will flow into your life. That's amazing to me, but it's true because it's God's character, not ours. He'll always be merciful, and so you can always come back to him. We can remember that he's satisfying and we're looking for it in other things, but and we'll never find it. But if we came back to him, then he would satisfy us again. He protects us. And so there's that security, you know? When you're out in the world, you lack security. But when you're close to God, there's peace. You know, you don't have peace when you're in the world. Whenever I was in high school, I was in eighth grade, actually. My brothers ran away from home. They tied sheets together. They tied it to the bedpost, threw it out the window, crawled out. I was in the same room, by the way. I did not wake up, which my stepmom did not believe me. That's a different story. I didn't wake up. I would have stopped them if I woke up, believe me. But anyway, 15 feet straight down, they like a cartoon, you know, they crawled down the sheets. They had about 6 feet, bottom of the sheet. They jumped down, and they ran away from home. They wanted to live with mom. You know, they didn't realize, I think, there was another way to do it. But anyway, let's run away from home in the middle of the night. Mom lived about 45 miles away. They made it 32 miles they walked all night long. Casey was 14 years old. Gary was 12. They made it 32 miles. Casey was telling just yesterday down in Oklahoma City, we were remembering about Gary, you know, and he was reminiscing about that journey. And he said, after about 25 miles, Gary started saying this to Casey, just leave me and go on. He's like, stop, man. I'm not leaving you out here in the side of the road. Just leave me. You know, I'm remembering. It's funny. Dad set us all four down, and there was four of us, you know. And he said, I'm not going to let two live with mom and two stay here with me. So you're all going. I didn't want to live with mom. I mean, I loved my life. I was going to be the quarterback of the football team. So, I mean, I was happy about it. I wasn't happy about leaving. But that's how it was. You can imagine how great my attitude was. I was 16 years old. Sarcasm. It was bad attitude. And I moved in, and I was not pleasant. But here's what I found. With Dad, I didn't go to church. With Mom, we didn't miss church. So that's a totally different world. And we first started going to church, all these services. I'm like, they have Sunday night church?